Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. On January 17th, so just a couple of weeks ago now, Colson Baker proposed to his girlfriend, and she said yes. Now, couples get engaged all the time, so that's not really that newsworthy. Unless, of course, you're these two. Celebrity news outlets went wild with the news of their engagement. That's because Colson Baker is a rapper and actor who goes by the stage name Machine Gun Kelly. And his now fiance is Megan Fox, an actress famous for being in the Transformers movies. Well, their relationship is unconventional, to say the least. But when he proposed to her, it looked very conventional. They were on a romantic getaway in Puerto Rico. He got down on one knee at the very same tree where they first met, and she said yes. And the ring he gave her had two stones in it. One diamond, his birthstone, and one emerald, her birthstone. And in an interview with Vogue magazine about the engagement, he explained two special features about the ring. He said, quote, "The ring can come apart to make two rings, each with its own stone. So when it's together, it's held in place by a magnet. So you see how it snaps together? And then it forms an obscure heart." Okay, that's clever. But then he goes on. "And you see this here? The bands are actually thorns. So if she tries to take it off, it hurts." The interviewer for Vogue apparently didn't quite know how to respond to that, so just said, "That's nice." To which Baker replied, "Love is pain." So in this one story of their proposal, we have the typical romantic moments, like getting down on one knee, presenting the ring, her saying yes, all of the socially acceptable lovey-dovey stuff. But then we get the really weird side of the story. An engagement ring made of metallic thorns. In the picture of the ring that's floating around online, you can actually see the thorn design. And in a way, it's similar to the teeth of a coyote, where once the prey goes in its mouth, the curved teeth prevent it from sliding back out again. That's kind of messed up to have an engagement ring like that. Right? So much for taking the ring off if you're doing the dishes or out in the garden, right? But perhaps that says something about our American culture, where some people think pain equals love. Today's second reading is Paul's famous description of love. And of course, it's become the default reading for many weddings because of its beautiful poetry, which is fine, I guess. But let's remember something. Paul was not working for Hallmark when he wrote this. He was writing to the church in Corinth. And if you remember last week, I said that the church in Corinth was very dysfunctional. They were arguing about who had the best spiritual gifts. They were fighting and full of conflict. So this is why Paul had to remind them that all spiritual gifts are important. Right? These people were claiming to be Christians who loved each other, but instead they were at each other's throats and saying nasty things about one another. That is not loving at all. So when Paul writes about love here, he's not writing some Shakespearean love sonnet. He's basically slapping the people of Corinth in the face. He writes, "Love is patient, you jerks. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Now, you don't have to tell people that love is not envious or boastful or arrogant if they're not being envious and boastful and arrogant. The people in Corinth were rude and insisting on their own way. They were irritable and resentful. They were rejoicing in the wrongdoing of others. Basically, they were doing the complete opposite of what they should have been doing. So this is why Paul is being so harsh to them. He's telling them that their understanding of love is messed up. Kind of like an engagement ring made of thorns. Well, of course, before we look down on the people of Corinth and Machine Gun Kelly and Megan Fox, let's remember that we don't always understand what love is either. And yes, we might be smart enough not to equate abuse with love, but most of the time we still don't quite get it. Because typically when we use the word love, what we mean is we really, really like it. As in, oh, I would love to do that. Or, I love chocolate. Or, I love my warm fuzzy socks. No, you do not love them. You really, really like them. If you go to Cold Stone and order ice cream, their sizes are not small, medium, and large. But like it, love it, gotta have it. On Facebook, if you really, really like someone's post, you leave a love emoji, a little heart symbol instead of a thumbs up. So if loving something means you just really, really like it, then what does that say if you love another person? Does that mean they're on the same level as your favorite fuzzy socks? Kind of cheapens love, doesn't it? Shouldn't people be more important than that? Now, maybe part of our confusion comes in the fact that we have only one word for love. So it gets used in a whole bunch of different ways. In Greek, though, there are three different words for love. Eros means the erotic type of love. Philios means friendship love or brotherly love. Think about how Philadelphia is the city of brotherly love. And then there's agape, the self-sacrificial type of love. This is the type of love Paul's talking about here. This is the Greek word he uses. This is the type of love that all of us need and that all of us are called to share. So when Paul reminded the people of Corinth about love, it's really easy to imagine that he was talking about Jesus. Right? He is the incarnate God, the one who is the embodiment of this agape love. He's the one who wore thorns, not because someone held him like prey, but because he was still king even in death. He was willing to take on pain and death for us, for you. This is true love, my friends. But of course, we know that, right? We know that Jesus' love is so much different than the love the world has to offer. But what good does it do? Think of it this way. As you look at the stores and all their Valentine's decorations now, perhaps you long for someone to love you. Even if you've not found that special someone, remember that Jesus loves you in a way that no other person ever will. And if you are in a relationship with someone, remember that that person is still human. Yes, you may love them and they may love you, but they're still broken and flawed and sinful. They will never love you the way that Jesus does. Or perhaps you've loved and lost. Maybe your spouse has died. Maybe you're divorced. Maybe you've been in and out of relationships and just can't seem to make them last. No matter what your relationship status is, Jesus still loves you. As the old cliche line says, even if you were the only person in the world, Jesus would have still died for you. That means the true symbol of love is not a heart, but a cross. The cross on which Jesus died for you. So, like the people of Corinth, we need to wake up from our poor definitions of love. Love does not mean that you really, really like something. It does not mean abuse or pain. It does not mean chocolates and flowers. It means a self-sacrifice that changes lives. Basically, love is a verb, not a noun. But how does that play out? What's it look like? Well, this kind of love happens every time you keep your mouth shut and listen to someone who just needs to vent. It happens when you do an activity or go somewhere with someone, even though you don't really want to do it. It happens when you put aside your wants for them. Love is something you do for someone else, not a warm, fuzzy feeling you have inside of you. And that is completely countercultural. Right? In a world when so many people break up as soon as the happy chemicals stop, we need this kind of self-sacrificial love. So sometimes our culture, like the people of Corinth, completely misunderstands what love is. But sometimes we get it absolutely right. Sometimes we do show the world what the agape love of Jesus is all about. Sometimes we do put others before ourselves. So yes, Machine Gun Kelly and Megan Fox might be in the news right now, but the life-changing love of Jesus is good news forever. And for everyone. And we as the church, we get to share that love with others. And that's amazing. Or as Paul says, love never ends. So in the name of the one who loves us with an unfailing love, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.